the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, the man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part three of our look at the Mystic cards. Today, we're going to take a look at Astronomical Atlas, Healing Words Level 3, Grounded Level 3, and True Magic. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos, or that are just bad for the game, get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Cole Monroe Chitty for the amazing art that graces the channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro, as well as the overlays. Thank you so much. I couldn't do it without you. Welcome back to our review of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. If you enjoy this type of content, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. We're starting off with Astronomical Atlas. It is a 3-cost asset that has 3 experience points, willpower, and 2 intellect skill icons, item, and tome trait. As a free triggered ability, you can exhaust the Astronomical Atlas, look at the top card of your deck. If it is not a weakness, attach it face down to Astronomical Atlas, max 5 cards attached. As a free triggered ability, you can commit a card attached to Astronomical Atlas to an eligible skill test. If that test succeeds, add that card to your hand instead of discarding it. Limit once per test. Now, back when the Norman Withers Investigator card came out in Ire of the Void, Norman tended to shy away from including skill cards in his deck because skill cards don't synergize with his ability very well. Here is a card that helps alleviate that issue to a certain extent. In fact, Norman receives a lot of cards in this box that seem to alleviate the whole skill issue that he experienced with his old replacement signature cards. This basically enables an investigator like Norman, who is the obvious choice here simply because he always knows what the top card of his deck is, to play a skill heavy build and not only remove those cards from the top of his deck so he can play the assets and events underneath for on the cheap with his special ability, but then get to commit those cards to multiple skill tests. So if you're playing things like Deduction to grab multiple clues, or Occult Theory, which we looked in at in part 2 of this series, to be able to play one of those cards, succeed at that skill test, pull it back to your hand, and then play it again on a subsequent skill test. I think Norman is the obvious one here simply because he does know what the top card of his deck is, and if you're interested in playing this card, I don't think pulling cards blindly off the top of your deck is really that helpful, so you're going to have to play other cards to know what the top card of your deck is. What do you guys think?
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. You know, the way I see it is, if you have enough cards in your deck that have double icons and you know what they are, then you can pretty reasonably commit those to skill tests that you're going to be able to pass, and then this essentially becomes pseudo card draw. Mm-hmm. In a class that doesn't have card draw, that's pretty cool. It does require you to, you know, finagle your deck in such a way, like you were saying, like regardless of whether or not you choose to put cards that manipulate your deck, it still kind of requires you to build your deck in a specific way. Or is like in the way that I'm mentioning, it requires you to have enough cards with double skill icons on them. But that being the case, free card draw is free card draw.
Yeah, I was actually While you were discussing this, Mr. Lang, I was thinking about something like Guts level 2, about how if you like manage to like put Guts level 2 on top of your deck, get it on this thing, you can commit Guts level 2 to a test, draw 2 cards, get it back to your hand, commit it again, draw 2 more cards. I'm like, okay, so you got your good skill cards can do double duty, and if you happen to have double icon stuff, you're probably pretty good. I'm envisioning something like, let's say you manage to land a Uncage the Soul on top, from the top of your deck, onto this thing. You commit it to a test. It gives you plus two will. It gives you 2 will icons. Succeed. Go to your hand. Then you play something with Uncage the Soul. Like, that's pretty efficient. Yeah. If you have
I
nothing
mean
else to do. Yeah.
maybe you can make it work if you're sort of pulling blindly, because you do get five cards. So chances are, as a free triggered ability, you'll eventually hit something that's going to be good. I mean, you're putting good cards in your deck, theoretically, so eventually you're going to hit something that's good if you're using this once a turn. And then it's just a matter of time that those icons are going to line up with a test you want, and you're going to be able to pull that card back. So even if you do hit a card, you're kind of like, ah, I don't want this on the Astronomical Atlas. At least you're probably going to be able to get it back fairly reasonably, unless it has a weird icon spread. But I mean, again, that's why you're probably going to end up building around this, just to make sure you're not putting a card in your deck that, say, just off the top of my head, like, say, cards with agility skill icons when you don't expect to reasonably take agility skill tests or something like that, where, or like an asset with agility skill icons where you're like, well, I don't plan on taking agility skill tests, and now this asset is on here and I'm never going to be able to get it back. That's something that you'd probably want to be very wary of. But I mean, the ability to commit really powerful skills multiple times, like you say, like deduction. Unfortunately, Norman can't take deduction level 2, or that would be even better, but he can take Guts level 2, which, like you say, between that and, if he gets enough icons, he can succeed by 2 to draw cards. This thing isn't bad.
Plus, if you're a traditional mystic and you're loading up on ways to use your willpower, if your deck just happens to have a ton of willpower icons, I guess this kind of helps smooth the deck out.
Well, Norman can take Promise of Power too. It would count as one of his 5 level 0 mystic cards, but having 4 wild skill icons sitting on top of this thing that you get to use twice is not going to be that. It's going to be pretty good.
Plus, like, it just says an eligible skill test. You can commit this to other people's skill tests. There's nothing saying you can't do that.
That is true as well.
So, I mean.
Oh, and you don't have to exhaust it to commit the cards off.
Plus,
It
like,
has
worst comes
enough
to
time to
worst,
take
right? Like,
place.
you put a card underneath this, and you're still committing an icon to somebody's skill test. Like, it still, in essence, draws you a card in quote unquote. Like, that's pretty good. And then if you're manipulating your deck, you're just adding extra value to
Now I want to test this one in a non-Norman deck to see
it.
how it works.
Honestly.
Because, when I was preparing for this, I'm like looking at cards and seeing who's playing them and stuff like that. And I mean, right now, this card and Norman are like peanut butter and jelly. But the more we talk about it, the more this feels like it would work in a lot of mystics, especially that ability to draw cards, which is, outside of Arcane Initiate, is not particularly easy. I mean, I believe the last card they received that really drew them a ton of cards was Scroll of Prophecies, which came out in Search for Kadath, I want to say, but
It's action intensive.
it's action intensive. It takes an actual action to draw the cards with that. And so it's not, mystics aren't Daisy who have that extra action to spare. So it's tough to justify that. But free triggered ability, draw a card, throw it under this, commit it, pull it back, commit it again, or play it. If you get this early enough, you can do it every turn for a game. An extra card a turn, it's pretty good.
And it takes up a hand slot, which is like something that most mystics don't really care about.
What do we, how do we rate this one? Man, my rating has gone from, I don't know, maybe from Blessed to Elder Sign? Is that crazy?
I don't think so, man. I think this card is slept on. This card's pretty good. The first thing I thought of when I saw this card is like, it's Ancestral Knowledge in a way. You know, whereas Ancestral Knowledge, you put skill cards underneath it. This is kind of doing a similar thing, but you get to control it. And while it's, you know, probably not going to be as good as Ancestral Knowledge, because of course it's not, because that's a seeker card, but... You know, in a class that doesn't have any other way of drawing cards, like, not only does this help you pass skill test, it then draws you cards. Like, what? That's crazy.
So what do you give it, Nate?
I give it an Elder Sign. This card's sweet.
I think I'm gonna, I've been convinced, and I think I'm gonna give it a +1, to be honest, because it's not, like, it's efficient for its cost, and it's pretty good for its slot and its XP cost. But I still think you do need to kind of make sure you have good icons on your cards. You know, like you can't just throw anything in there.
I guess, you know, for me, like, it's like I'm already doing that anyway.
Yeah, if you're already doing that, yeah, you gotta like gotta work it a little bit. You know, you gotta make sure you've got things like, you know, you gotta make sure your table, your group, or you are gonna take like intellect tests. You know. So that way you can have Foresight, which has two intellect icons, and you end up, you know, grabbing Foresight with this thing. And yeah, you gotta work it a little bit, I think. But no, I like this. It's good. It's a nice, like, I wouldn't say, like, all-out engine, but it's going to, like, smooth your deck out, you know, assuming you take tests and the cards you put under it are going to match the tests that get taken. Like, yeah, this is pretty nice.
But unfortunately, if you take down the rabbit hole, this costs 4 experience.
Yeah, that immediately lowers the rating, sadly.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because I didn't actually put that on the slide this time. I got tired of doing it. I think by part 3, I'm just like, it's assumed that that the card doesn't work with Down the Rabbit Hole at this point. Man, oh man.
Did I make you guys drink the Kool-Aid on this card?
Well, no.
Yeah, you did.
Blessed token seems like it's obvious, like would be obvious just for Norman. And I know this is getting a lot of, this is very attractive to Norman. But man, I don't know. I'm going to give it a +1 with the proviso that it could easily go up to an Elder Sign. But I'd want to play with this first to see if it actually can pull its weight in a non-Norman deck to just see, do you get enough value out of it? I think if you're building your deck, we're going to be putting good cards in our deck with good icon spreads. So yeah. Blindly pulling cards off the top of your deck, you're probably going to end up with something you like. And as long as you're cognizant of not putting cards in, especially if you're playing solo, that you're going to have trouble triggering that particular skill test. I don't think it's a really heavy build around. I think it simply rewards you for being a good deck builder in the first place. This could easily reach Elder Sign territory. Like, Mystics just don't have draw and the ability to draw a card every turn.
Effectively, yeah.
Effectively, and then be able to commit skills to 2 skill tests. It's really good. Really good.
I'm actually excited to try this after talking about it. Like, I have a Marie build that I've run a couple of times that I think this would fit like right into that, and parallel.
Well, it's like easy. imagine a world, right, where you're playing like Occult Theory. You put Occult Theory down on this. You commit it to an intellect skill icon. It passes that test. You put it back into your hand, and then you play it again, and it's like you've passed 2 tests and basically drawn 2. Like, that's
Does Occult Theory work on this? Does it have skill icons while it's on this?
Yeah, because it says committed to a skill test.
Right, okay. I just wanted to check with that, because...
I'm telling you guys, I got it. Parallel Daisy. Regular Daisy can't take this, but Parallel Daisy can take this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tend to forget about the Parallel Investigators. At least I do, because there's already... Man... almost 50 investigators in the game. So remembering Parallel version, by the time we get Parallel versions for everybody, There's going to be 100 investigators, and it's going to be like, well,
they're stopping at Wendy. I can tell. I'm pretty sure they're stopping at Wendy. You know, it was a COVID thing to do print and place cards.
The next card in the box is Healing Words, level 3, 2-cost asset with 2 willpower skill icon spell trait. Uses 4 charges. As an action, you can spend 1 charge, heal 2 damage from among investigators at your location, and it takes up an arcane slot. I have tried very hard to keep this channel relatively clean when it comes to language in the past, but what the fuck? Honestly, what the fuck is this card doing in this box? Why was this created?
There is a very specific reason why this card is created, and we've alluded to it before, but it's the weaknesses that are in this campaign. There are...
Why do we need another one? I mean, the Meditative Trance just solves the weaknesses by itself. Lily's got a discipline to solve the weakness. It's like...
The thing about this
card is for Norman. That's right. This is for Norman to heal.
Well, it also it does it for multiple investigators. So, you know, you could have like your Mystic pick up 1 copy of this and then heal off 2 injuries, which could be decent, but I mean,
there are more than 50 basic weaknesses in the game at this point. What are the odds that everybody at the table is going to have broken legs, broken arms?
I mean, it'd be hilarious. Like, I don't disagree.
Okay, I'm going to say this now. It is one of only 4 Mystic cards in this box that synergizes with Down the Rabbit Hole. So there's a positive for it. But 3 XP for a card that adds 1 additional charge and heals 1 additional damage over its level 0 counterpart.
Okay, so if there was an investigator that was like Carolyn but with damage, this card would be decent in them because you could ping multiple investigators and trigger your effect multiple times. Cool. Outside of that, this card's awful.
And that investigator will probably be Vincent Lee. Like, everybody is expecting Vincent Lee, the doctor, to be Carolyn 2.0 except for damage. And in which case, this card gets better, but... God.
You know what? It probably happened. Like, ever since they did Clarity of Mind 3 XP, like, they decided to do Healing Words, and then Healing Words level 3 had to come sometime, and I guess this was the set it was going to come in, you know, because this is the one that, like, has some need for healing. So this is one of those where it's, like, the obligatory card.
Well, you know, it's like we were talking about medical texts, right? Like, this is the day they just kind of showed up. They're like, all right, we need the Seeker card, we need a Mystic card, and we need, I don't know, some other card. Just throw it in there. Who cares?
Just throw it in there. Yeah.
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 It was easy. You know, they checked out for the day. Maybe it was, like, before the holiday. Like, whatever. You know, just throw it in there.
Just throw it in there. We can't have the entire Mystic pool be about deck manipulation with Norman. You know?
Yeah, I believe I'd have to go back and look, but I remember reviewing Healing Words level 0 back in the day, and I think I predicted the arrival of that.
Yeah,
Healing Words
you knew it was coming.
Level X was just a matter of time, and I was disappointed then, and believe you me, when I saw the card list for Edge of the Earth, I'm like, oh, well, there's one less Mystic card we get to play with in this set. These healing cards, will they never learn? Tentacle
does have 2 willpower skill icons, but it's still a tentacle.
I'm gonna give it an elder thing because it heals 2 and not 1. I think I said the same thing about first aid level 3. I think so. I'm being consistent.
But first aid level 3 heals ally assets, and that is pretty important in Guardian. Whereas, like, that's a pretty key distinction between this card.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it's true. Tentacle. Yeah.
Tentacles all around for Healing Words, level 3. You can save some experience if you play this. You can buy a copy for 2 XP instead of 3. Maybe it's worth it at 2. If you combine it with Arcane Research, you can get it for free. With Down the Rabbit Hole and 2 copies of Arcane Research, you can upgrade this for free. There's another good thing I said about it. Two whole nice things I said about this card, which is 2 more nice things that I thought I was going to say. So
there you go. I mean, this cast is all about people coming together and, you know, having a positive attitude, and we've managed to achieve that today. Good job, Nate.
You're really embracing the holiday spirit, Mr. Lang.
Christmas miracle.
That's right. The next card we're going to look at is Grounded. It is the composure talent for the Mystic class that the level 0 version was originally released back in Echoes of the Past during the Path to Carcosa cycle. It is a free asset that costs 3 experience points, 2 wild skill icons. Talent and composure traits fast, limit 1 composure in play. You get +1 skill value during skill tests on spell cards. Non-direct damage / horror must be assigned to Grounded before it can be assigned to your Investigator card. As a free triggered ability during a skill test on a spell card, spend 1 resource, you get +1 skill value for this test. And this one is breaks the mold for the level 3 composures in that it has 2 health and 2 sanity. Again, we've been awfully high on these cards. This one is, again, fast and free. Passive skill boost to spells is welcome, has more sanity and health than the original did, so you can probably keep this one on the table a little longer. Of the composures, of the level 0 composures at least, I have a feeling this one was played the least because of that spell card requirement. It was the most narrow of the bunch. There are an awful lot of spell cards in the game now, however, so this has an awful lot more targets than the level 0 version did. And again, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Diana Stanley can purchase this and Well Prepared.
Yep.
And have 2 wild skill icons on tap all the time, which is nice. Thoughts on Grounded?
I do wish that it gave a stat boost.
Yeah, a flat stat boost, like, even if it's willpower.
Yeah, because I think, like, that's a big reason to play the other ones.
Yep.
You know, it's like a free, fast stat boost can really help you throughout a scenario. And while it is true, you know, a lot of the skill tests you are going to be making are probably from spell cards, there are ones that aren't, and, you know, this doesn't help you in those instances.
Also, encounter cards.
Yeah, encounter cards is another one. The other issue is that Mystics also are pretty tight on resources, so you can't really spend resources on it. And most spells either add your willpower or use your willpower, so you really don't need that effect as much. As, say, like Moxie in Rogue, where you're probably going to be using that willpower one quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stinks, but it is tanky, and it is free health and sanity soak, which is nice. So there is that, you know, you're more willing to kind of pitch this in time of need versus, like, an ally or something.
I mean, it is 2 health and 2 sanity that takes up neither the accessory slot like Holy Rosary or an ally slot like allies. So I guess that's okay. Yeah, I agree with you. The lack of a static boost really diminishes the value of this one compared to the other composures that we have looked at, as well as Plucky that we'll look at in the Survivor cards. It comes with permanent boosts or, you know, passive boosts as well. The fact that this doesn't help you at all with treachery cards, I guess they sort of assume that being a mystic, you've got willpower for days, so you're going to pass most willpower skill tests anyway, and those that you can't pass, you'll cancel with Ward of Protection or the other treachery cancellation cards we've received in the past cycle or so. Yeah, this one's, I feel like this one's a little tougher to judge than the others. I could see, would I pay 6 XP to put two of these in my deck, planning on using it for soak and the plus one to a spell every now and then.
I feel like this should cost 2 XP because it's not as, it doesn't do as much as the other composures.
Yeah, I think the reason they don't do that is just because of off class.
Or just symmetry.
Yeah. You know, maybe there was some issue with like certain off class mystics being able to take a card like this just because it's free soak at that point.
I wish it said you get plus one willpower and plus one skill value during skill tests on spell cards. Because then it's like a free Holy Rosary, you know, like a zero cost, fast, slotless Holy Rosary. And it has, it does something else.
So how do we rate this one? I mean, we've given the other ones anywhere from an Elder Sign to a plus one. Plus one seems a bit generous with this one. I don't think it's an Elder thing. It seems... The soak alone seems good. Again, like I have played with the other, I did play with the other level zero composures. Not a lot, but I did put them in decks. This one I never touched. So I find it harder to judge. And I think a lot of players may shy away from this one just because of the bad vibes from the level zero version.
Yeah, I think part of the issue is one, you don't really need the boost as much as some of the other ones. And two, you know, barring the down the rabbit hole arcane research decks, like mystics need all the experience they can get, kind of like guardians. So I feel like oftentimes you're just not going to have 3 to 6 experience to spare on a card like this. So,
well, but this one does, or no, the composures are level ones, so the... Yeah. The originals are level one, so yeah, this one does cost more with down the rabbit hole.
I mean, you would, in theory, save 2 experience by upgrading both of them with down the rabbit hole, but like, you'd have to wait quite a significant amount of time in order for that to come to fruition. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's worth it just for the soak, and that's really kind of the biggest appeal of this card, unfortunately. So I think I'm going to give it an Elder thing.
I'm going to give it a 0 because of... If you are playing a Mystic deck that doesn't want to use Holy Rosary, like you want to play any other accessory, then this starts to look decent. But then, wouldn't that make it a bless in that point, at that case? Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this is... Yeah. This does feel like an Elder thing now that I think about it some more, because like I can see when you would want to use it, but yeah, just give it an Elder thing. It's not that great. I mean, it's basically soak and a half of a Holy Rosary.
And you have Robe of Endless Nights now.
It's true.
Card pool.
That's true.
And that kind of solves that issue for you, I feel, mm-hmm. And it gives you a benefit of resource generation, quote unquote. So
yeah, I'll go with the Elder thing. The more I think about it, the less I like it.
I'm trying to think of mystics who might like this. This
Dexter,
is a tough...
maybe.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. Dexter in a Dexter deck that like that doesn't want to just be locked into Holy Rosary. Yeah.
Dexter could like take 1-1 on this and then like pitch it and play another asset.
Yeah, there you go.
So like that could be fine, but
Here's a question. How many spells are there, Mr. Mystic Expert, Mr. Lang, that don't fire off of willpower?
Oh, I don't know. There aren't many.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. If there was like a deck there that actually played spell cards and used more than just your willpower, like often, there might be something there. But that's not this game.
I don't know. I feel like there might be something there with Diana. But because you could build a Diana deck that wants to fight a lot. So having, but then again, she'd probably be fighting with weapons which don't benefit from this at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I think when I think about it that way, it's probably an elder thing. There might be somebody who can, that this breaks out and uses it, but yeah, I don't think it's a tentacle. It's got enough stuff there to make it, I think, worthwhile, but this doesn't feel like a priority upgrade. And if you're playing a mystic that uses weapons, you're not going to play this. The spell boost is pretty narrow, and you don't really have the resources to plow into this thing to to boost. So yeah, I think this one ends up at Elder Thing, unfortunately, which is okay. I had high hopes for Grounded, but
yeah, I do see the card pool in the future eventually including more spells that don't fire off of willpower, and this card is pretty good in, if you're doing that. You know, if you're using multiple stats for your spell deck, then, because then you can use it to, that plus one skill value is boosting multiple things, then it's starting to get pretty good. Yeah.
I think I haven't played Dexter, which I feel badly about, but I mean, he does have access to a bunch of rogue cards that are kind of spells, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't
like
obfuscation
remember, and things like that.
I can't remember offhand what they're using. Probably willpower.
Mm-hmm. Your suggestion adds your willpower.
Yeah. So we shall see. Maybe this one will shine in a cycle or two. But for now, it seems like a tough sell. That brings us to the final card, final True Mystic card in the box, and that is True Magic Revoking or Reworking Reality, a 4-cost asset that costs 5 experience points. 2 willpower skill icons and a wild skill icon. Item, relic, and tome traits. Uses 1 charge. Replenish this charge at the start of each round. You may resolve abilities on spell assets in your hand by revealing them from your hand. Treat true magic as if it were the revealed asset to pay its cost, spend charges, performance effects, etc., etc. It takes up a hand slot and a arcane slot. We've seen a couple of these very expensive in terms of XP mystic upgrades. I'm thinking of Flute of the Elder Gods in the last cycle. Very XP intensive. This one seems to be, I think it's good, but it also raises a lot of potential rules questions that and interactions that could potentially make this one not difficult to use from a play sense, but just trying to figure out how this interacts with various cards. I've seen, for example, there's been a debate about how this interacts with sign magic. For one, the upgraded version of Sign Magic, that is, that lets you trigger trigger other actions on cards when you trigger them, and et cetera, et cetera. But I guess theoretically, having a tome on the table that you basically show your shriveling from your hand and you get to shrivel, or show your right of seeking from your hand and you get to seek, is pretty good. It takes it fills that arcane slot, and then you say have your other arcane slot filled by your main fight, investigate, evade tool, and then you use this to rotate out the other ones that you need. I think it is significant that this only works with spell assets, so can't use this to trigger events, but there are, and most of the spell assets belong to one of the various triads that have been released over the course of the game. What do you guys think about this one?
So the first thing that I thought of when reading this card was comboing it with Astronomical Atlas. So you stick an asset underneath the Atlas, you commit it, put it back into your hand, and now all of a sudden True Magic is a copy of that card over and over and over again, which is pretty cool. it's nice that it allows you to sort of make a toolbox of spell assets. Where it's like now all of a sudden healing words seems a bit more appealing because it has decent icons, and now all of a sudden if I need that effect, I have it in my deck and I can use it pretty much at will. That's pretty cool. You know, other things you could try and maybe use like duplicates. Like say you're playing two shrivelings and you draw the second one. Now all of a sudden I have like a shriveling on command plus this other one if I need it. I think that's pretty nice. It is expensive and it does take up an arcane slot, which is a bit annoying, but I do think it more than it makes up for it.
I'm just looking at the card list here quickly, and there are more than 60 spell assets in the game at this point. Many of them do belong to the traditional fight, investigate, and evade triads like Armageddon and Azure Flame and Shriveling, etc., etc., etc. So maybe this is the way Mystics play those spell assets like Healing Word and Clarity of Mind and stuff like that, that they don't want to stack on the table in addition to basically having their triad on demand.
Okay, so I had a thought about this card, and I think this is like, I just don't see, so I keep looking at it, and all I see is you get a charge every round. Okay, so you get a charge every round, and you get to reveal something in order to use that charge on something. But what you can't do is use that spell in your hand twice.
But what about Sixth Sense, which doesn't use charges?
Oh, yeah, well, you can use that over and over. But in that case, why aren't you just playing the Sixth Sense? And why aren't you spending that 5 XP on upgrading your Sixth Sense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, maybe you've spent it on...
Yeah.
You've upgraded to Shriveling 5 and this, and then you've got Sixth Sense in your hand. And
yeah.
Or, I mean, it does give you the option, I guess, of upgrading only one copy, where traditionally you'd be forced to upgrade both copies. So you upgrade both copies of, say, whichever asset you want that you're going to rely on, and then say, okay, I'm going to get one Sixth Sense 5. Or one Mists of Relay, whatever level that goes up to. And then use this to fuel it.
Yeah, I think this is where, like, personally, I'm going to admit, like, this is kind of beyond the limits of my Mystic experience of, like, when this would be pretty good, to be honest. I have a feeling there are some cases where your deck is going to be improved by this card. I personally don't know what they are, but I have a feeling there are, because like I look at this card and I see it like, okay, so it's a you get to use the charge, that charge can be used to power something that's in your hand, that's okay, fine, and so you get that charge back every round. The limitation is you have to leave the thing in your hand, so I can't double shrivel someone, I can't go shrivel using like using that shrivel that I have to keep in my hand instead of using it twice in a turn. Like, that's what I see it. And so what I end up seeing it as that is like, it becomes like a charge factory, at which point we have Toyla Catherine Price, which I think does the charge factory job better, because you play the things, you get to use all the charges on the cards, you know, on your spell assets, and Toyla Catherine is generating one every round. Yeah, you know, I think there's just, I have a feeling there's some like big brain Mystic strategy that I'm not seeing with True Magic. Yeah, but I think if you just want more charges, play Twilight Catherine instead.
Yeah, I think the best way that you use True Magic is by having like a kind of a critical mass of different spell assets so that you can sort of pick and choose which spell you use in the moment. Like apart from that, you know, it kind of asks you to play Mystic in a way that the game has never asked you to play Mystic in before. Mm-hmm. So I can see why it's kind of a head scratcher for a lot of people. But I think the combination of this plus Atlas, I think, is pretty good. Because now you find a way to like use the assets that you put underneath it to more useful benefit. So it's like all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, I'll throw this into my Guardian's combat skill. I'll get that shriveling back into my hand. And now True Magic allows me to kind of use the Shriveling until I need to play it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, whatever other spells I happen to draw off the Atlas, now I can kind of pseudo use them with True Magic.
Okay. Okay. But what it's not is the Charge Factory, you know?
I don't think so. Yeah. No.
I mean, maybe this is a Dexter card. Because Dexter's Elder Sign allows him to bounce spell assets back to his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I can see it working in Dexter.
You could pick up something and say put down something else, and yeah, I'm not.
Like you said, Matt,
this is beyond your Mystic knowledge, yeah. And I feel like even as a Mystic player, somebody who's played Mystic a lot, this one feels beyond me as well, because I'm not entirely sure how I would use this one. And would I be willing to spend 10 XP for this?
Well,
I guess it is unique, so you can't have both on the table at the same time. So that's out.
I've got 2 points for you. One, it actually costs you 6 XP because of Down the Rabbit Hole.
It does. That's true.
Yep. Yep. And two, Dexter, Underworld Support. Toolbox, Underworld Support. Run one of tons of spells. Boom. There you go.
Yeah.
I was also thinking of Luke, because Luke can play Research Librarian, and then he can find this card. And he also gets access to some of those Seeker spells.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
and he has a reasonable amount of intellect, so... Yeah. You know, he could start kind of experimenting with stuff like that, and then you have things like Healing Words and Clarity of Mind to kind of...
Yeah, the, like, specialist spells that you don't want to actually spend an action to take the play action. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But I don't think spending 5 to 10 XP or 6 to 12 XP, if you're playing Down the Rabbit Hole, is what I want to be spending to play Healing Word.
Yeah.
You know, this to me is the other. It feels like you have your main spell that you want on the table, that is the jam you're going to be doing throughout the game, whether you're the person in charge of enemy management, or you're a Kluver, or you're going to keep things locked down with evasion, and then you use this to do the other two things that you don't have the arcane slots for. And you're doing them not really enough to justify putting them on the table, but you're just doing, like, okay, if I'm the fighter, I want to gather a clue. Okay, here's Rite of Seeking. I get two clues, sort of thing. And I can do that once per turn as my last action. So I take an enemy off you, I kill it. I've got Rite of Seeking in my hand. I'm grab a couple clues and I'm done, sort of thing. Or I'm the investigator, I'm using Sixth Sense to grab clues, and then, oh, you have an enemy on you? Okay, I engage that enemy, shrivel level 5, I hit it for what is it, 3-4 damage, kill it, move on, sort of thing. That's where I sort of see, like, that's how I would be tempted to play this card, like, okay, without really thinking about it too much.
Yeah, I think what hampers this card is just kind of the lack of utility in the arcane slot for Mystics. You know, because it's like, essentially we've received flavors of the same spell for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, if we had more interesting spells...
Spell
then
assets.
This card is, then this card is sweet. But, you know, as it stands, there's only so much you can do with that extra, you know, extra slot.
But, you know, I could see maybe, okay, let me think about this. So let's say I'm the Kluver. I have Sixth Sense. I'm gathering clues. I'm helping out in that respect. I've got my Shriveling in my hand in case I need to kill anything. And then I've got, say, Alchemical Transmutation to gain some resources. Like, that's not a bad setup. I don't think I have ever played Alchemical Transmutation because it takes up an arcane slot that I don't have to spare. But yeah. if it's sitting in my hand and I want it, and I was going to take a resource in order to do something, suddenly this thing steps up and says, hey, here's the solution. I'm alchemical transmutation this turn. Burn a charge, gain some resources, and away you go. That doesn't seem that bad to me. I agree with you, Nate. I don't think there's enough utility spell assets at the moment that I want to play in a deck. Like Healing Word and Clarity of Mind, I have no interest in those. But maybe if we got more of those, then this thing suddenly...
But even then, all those utility assets, they're still costing you charges, and which means that you can only do the toolbox once a turn, because you can only spend, because True Magic only has one charge that replenishes.
Yeah, and that's why I think you'd have to have a main, like, you're doing one thing, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to fight, investigate, and evade, and then I have this... I mean, maybe you get additional arcane slots. I mean, the game used to be very hesitant to give you arcane slots, but, you know, with the advent of Hierophant and stuff like that, they're throwing them at you. So, the pressure on arcane slots isn't what it used to be, but if you are sticking with the two, you... keep one arcane slot to basically do the thing you want to do most of the time, and then use the other one to say, okay, I need to fight this turn, bang. Oh, I need some resources, bang. Oh, I need to fight next turn. I still have that shriveling in my hand.
Yeah, it is a bit ironic that this is the... So what this is doing is it's letting you have assets available without having to actually take the play action to play them. But at the same time, we've seen some other cards in this set that that let you play assets faster, you know, with Foresight and Close the Circle. So it's like, you can just take those and just drop the spell into play when you need it.
Yeah, but imagine playing Close the Circle and this card. And now you're just getting a free action whenever you want without having to worry about what else is in play. So that's... Yeah. That's pretty big brain, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there is a card we haven't looked at, the Mystic Survivor card, Enchanted Bow.
That's a fun card.
Takes up two hand slots and an arcane slot. It's a spell asset.
Yeah, it's true.
So suddenly your True Magic's an Enchanted Bow for a turn to kill something.
Another thing to note, too, is that this card doesn't limit how many times you can use it a turn. So if you have a Sixth Sense and a Shriveling, you can Sixth Sense Shriveling.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're limited by the charge, and you can only exhaust the True Magic once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a big question mark for me, I gotta admit. This one's a... Huh?
So how would we rate this one?
We have a token for sleeper cards.
I think Bless covers this, where it's like, if you're gonna make use of this, you gotta really build around it and think through it. And
yeah, I would totally agree with that. That's probably a fair assessment. You know, you are definitely building a deck around this card.
Yeah
this feels like a Bless simply because it's the capstone to whatever sort of deck you have planned from the beginning. I don't think this is... That's the thing with 5 XP cards. Like, I mean, you look at Guardians, right? Usually a Guardian sets off on a campaign trail with a specific weapon in mind. And I'm going to buy the Cyclopean Hammer, or I'm going to get the Holy Spear, or I'm going to get the Flamethrower. That's the weapon I'm going for. So I suspect that this is the Mystic equivalent of that. It's just like, okay, I'm going to invest 5 to 10 XP to pick up two copies of this. I am going to make every effort to get it down on the table as soon as possible. Here is the list of spells that I am going to use with it. And you go from there. It's not something you're like... scenario 8 of a campaign, and you're like, I have 5 XP to spend. I'm going to get this card. Yeah, I think this is, I think you're right. I think this one's a build around. But man, what a, of what a all the cards, this one feels like it is, requires the biggest of brains. And I'm not too sure that my brain is up to the task. At least right now, I think once I sit down and have a chance to play with it. Who knows, it might be one of the most exciting cards in the set. But right now it feels like I read the text and I know what it does, but then I start thinking about various interactions and it's just like, ooh, this one could be, this one might be like Time Warp, which, was it Time Warp that required a lot of FAQ entries just to figure out how that thing worked?
No, that's Luke Robinson.
Well, he's a Mystic card too, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Luke, he is, I think, probably the best candidate for this card.
Oh, because he gets like access to some Seeker spells? Okay.
Because he gets access to Ellie Horowitz and Research Librarian.
Right. Yeah, he can find it. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this is Luke's jam. Although with all of the various tech that you can include in your deck now to include cards from other classes, it wouldn't take a whole lot of mixing to say purchase Versatile for Force Learning for a Mystic to pick. Could a Mystic pick up Force Learning, Research Librarian, and a bunch of other cards?
Yeah, baby, you know it, Nate.
No. You lost me at Force Learning.
What rating did we give that card?
I hate that card.
Elder Sign?
That's going to do it for our look at the Mystic cards in the Edge of the Earth expansion. Some pretty thought-provoking cards, if True Magic is any indication. Can't help but say that I'm a bit disappointed to see Healing Words in this set. I was hoping that that one would be pushed down the road as long as possible before it was released, but who knows, maybe we'll receive an investigator like Vincent Lee, the doctor, who deals with damage much in the way that Carolyn deals with horror, and cards like all of these various healing effects that we seem to be receiving will improve a little bit. What do you guys think of the Mystic cards as a whole?
As a whole, it goes wildly, but there's some really interesting Mystic cards here with Close the Circle and the Two Tomes. I think those are kind of the standouts for me. And yeah. Parallel Fate and Foresight are interesting enough if you like that style of deck. I think Mystic made out pretty well.
Yeah, they got some ammunition, you know, for that encounter deck manipulation strategy. I'm really curious about Astronomical Atlas now after talking to you guys, and I'm really curious about playing around with Close the Circle. I think I'm starting to notice my lack of experience with Mystics is starting to get me curious here. But there's also some black cards as well, like Grounded in Healing Words. So yeah,
that's gonna do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.